Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to our Eggtastic show this evening. It is going to be a blast. I love it when we do these craft shows and recipe shows because it's really where Lisa gets to shine. And I think she's so amazing all the time. And so it always makes me happy to kind of, you know, make her get out there in the spotlight and be as wonderful as she is and let everybody know how wonderful she is. So, Lee, are you there?
Stop it. Just stop it.
You know,
my head's too big now.
You know I love you and you're adorable.
I know, you're killing me.
I have to tell you that I actually went, I think you're actually going to be proud of me. I actually went.
Am I?
And, yeah.
Like I'm not proud of you anyway for all you do.
Well, you know, like in craft stuff, because it's not my – I'm more of a cooking person. I don't craft. And I kind of found something tonight, and I'm really excited about it, and I hope you didn't find it too. But I found something today that I was like, oh, my God, this is like a cooking and a craft. Oh, my God, I can do this. Lee will be so impressed.
No, I didn't find – you know what I found, so – Mine is, oh, wait, you know, now that you say that, oh, shoot.
Uh-oh.
No, I had the grid all ready to hit post on Facebook, and I freaked out because I looked at the clock and I hadn't logged in yet, and I totally closed that screen.
Oh,
so I will have to post my grid after the show.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to post the three things that I'm going to talk about tonight. I'll post them on the Facebook page at the completion of the show.
Okay.
But mine's just in a word format. It's not anything fancy.
Well, mine's not fancy either. It's just that I want to be able to, because, you know, after doing all of the legwork of finding all the products and what color they make water, I figured, you know, I might as well at least share it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fine. I have it here so I can just read a couple of examples of it and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It will be fine. So today, Good Friday, happy Passover to those who celebrate that. And happy,
absolutely,
happy Good Friday. I don't know, I guess Good Friday is not really happy, but, you know, it is Good Friday. And it was funny, I have to say this, because I just thought this was absolutely hysterical. Now, I know when I was a young person, because I was brought up Catholic, I always assumed that nobody ate meat on Good Friday or, you know, Fridays in Lent. Mm-hmm. I thought that was just what was done because, of course, all I knew was Catholicism.
Right.
And then I, as I got older, I met some friends who were Christian but not Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, no, we don't do that no meat thing. And I was very surprised. Well, you know, Robin, that I am a big QVC person.
Oh, yeah.
It's our little fun thing that we can do that doesn't cost any money. And, you know, it's
I don't
a great
know
little...
say it doesn't cost any money because every time you, you go, you
well, what I mean is, like, we can go, you know, we can go on a day trip to, mm-hmm. what is that, Westchester, Pennsylvania?
I guess.
Is that what it is? I think that's what it's called, Westchester. Not Westchester, like in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
There's Chester and there's Westchester. And that's where the QVC, you know, where they do the show from, and you can go and tour it, and it's free. You know, now, of course, we do buy things when we go there, but for the most part, it's a nice day trip that we can go to a nice area of Pennsylvania. And,
you know, drive to Pennsylvania, but don't come see me, but, you know, okay,
well,
fine.
It's only an hour and a half from my house, not 4 hours. Anyway, so today on Facebook, everybody is giving the foodie host, David Venable, the hardest time because he's having, like, crown roast for dinner tonight.
Oh,
and everybody's like, what are you doing? It's Good Friday. What's wrong with you? And I think he's Baptist.
Yeah,
and I'm like, dude.
That no meat thing.
Dudes, it's only the Catholics. Get over it.
Oh, that's funny.
But I was good. I was good today for my little RC man. I made him tuna casserole for dinner. So I was a good wife.
Mm-hmm.
I figured whatever.
Well, we had balsamic chicken for dinner. It was really good.
Oh, that would be yummy. You can give me that recipe if you want.
Okay, yeah. Easy. It's very, very easy.
But anyway,
easy.
So today is an egg show.
Yes.
Well, do we want to start with egg food? Or do we want to go to egg crafts?
Why don't we do egg crafts first? And then
okay.
I have a craft that's for people who can't eat eggs or who have just had eggs up to here and don't want to do eggs anymore, or have very little kids who just won't eat hard-boiled eggs, and it's sort of a waste. But you can start.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
you want
go
me to
ahead.
Start? All right. Well,
yeah,
you know
go
what?
Ahead.
Let's see. Let's start with more of the adult-type situation. You know what
okay.
I mean? The grown-ups, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of people, the PAWS dye kits are great,
mm-hmm.
and they're very easy with kids, because as we know from tie dyeing, kids don't want to leave something in water
mm-hmm.
for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They want instant gratification.
Yeah.
So that's very true. And you're not eating the shells,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, it's fine. But if you're more of an organic type person, and
mm-hmm.
you want to go with something that's, you know, not chemical-based. You
right.
want to go with something that is, you know, more natural, which a lot of people do. I found a list of items that you can use to make dyes.
Cool.
Now, you can also use these dyes.
I am rubbing off on you.
Well, the eggs also look way more like real eggs. They look
mm-hmm.
way more speckled. And
mm-hmm.
more like, you know, you would find a robin's egg, you know,
mm-hmm.
because organic products produce non-uniformed situations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to look way more like something that came from nature as opposed to, you know, a hot pink egg.
Right, right.
I'm going to post the list
That's
of items.
Pretty and elegant and...
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to post all the ingredients on our Facebook page in
mm-hmm.
case anybody wants to try this. But just real quick, I'll run through a couple of them. To achieve lavender, you can use small amounts of purple grape juice, violet flowers, and lemon juice, red zinger tea bags from Celestial Seasonings.
Mm-hmm.
Those, when we follow the same procedure for everything, will give you lavender. Then you can get a violet blue from violet flowers without lemon juice, red onion
mm-hmm.
skins, red wine or hibiscus tea.
Hmm.
For blue, you can use canned blueberries, large amounts of purple grape juice. I guess the more juice you use, the more the deeper,
yeah,
the tone. And red cabbage leaves, which I know, being German, that the water that comes from red cabbage is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Spinach leaves and fresh basil will work for green.
Well, wait a minute. The red cabbage, mm-hmm, turns it blue or red?
No, it turns it blue.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. For green, you can use spinach leaves or fresh basil.
Mm-hmm.
For a greenish yellow, you can use delicious apple peels,
yeah,
and or fresh parsley.
Now, do you have to, like, heat the water? And
oh, I'm going
to
get to that.
Sorry.
That's okay. Yellow, you can use chamomile tea, which I know, mm-hmm, you have on hand.
Mm-hmm.
Orange or lemon peels, celery seed, ground cumin, ground turmeric, green tea, or carrot tops.
Mm-hmm.
And for a golden brown color, you can get dill seeds. For dark brown, you can use instant coffee or walnut shells or black tea. For orange, you can use yellow onion skins, carrots, paprika, chili powder, and it goes on. There's red for red onion skins and pomegranate juice and raspberries and beets for pink. And, of course, the color density or intensity will go by how long you keep it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But all you have to do is take whatever thing off the list, you know, for whatever color you want in a pan, in a pot, and you take a couple of handfuls of whatever your vegetation is, or a couple of tablespoons of whatever your spice is, because,
mm-hmm,
you know, if you're using turmeric, of course, it's a spice. You add a quarter cup of distilled vinegar, and you boil it until it comes to a boil. Turn it down and let it simmer for 30 minutes, and then you transfer it into a glass or a cup or a mug or a, you know, whatever. They used mason jars so that the level is higher than an egg. So you wouldn't want to use, like, a small teacup because you won't be able to roll your egg around.
Right.
So something that will really give the egg full coverage. Now, there was a side note that said a lot of people have found better color saturation if you add an additional tablespoon of vinegar,
mm-hmm,
at the time you're ready to dye the egg.
Yeah.
So that it's not boiled out. And then you just let them sit.
Hmm.
But what you should do when you're transferring the dye into the cup, strain it. Because,
mm-hmm,
you don't need all that red cabbage floating around or all the dill seeds floating around.
Mm-hmm.
So strain them or use a coffee filter, whatever you have, into the glasses and then add your eggs.
Hmm.
And what they say is if you want it to be more intense, leave it on the counter till it's cooled off and then put it in the refrigerator. Because with hard-boiled eggs, you should refrigerate them.
Yeah.
And you should not put hot liquids into your refrigerator. It's a serve-safe thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that you want to, you know, be aware of as well.
Mm-hmm.
But those will give you, I mean, the things I saw online, the pictures that I saw online were absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
But it is time-consuming. So, you know, it's like mom's going to be going all day and making all the dyes, and then the kids are going to want to take them out immediately, and you're not going to have that deep color. So it really is something you want to do, you know, it's more of a grown-up thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for the little kidders, and this can be a lot of fun, I would suggest rubber gloves or latex gloves for the kids, because what you're doing is you take shaving cream and you dollop some of the edible food coloring in it, swirl it around, and you roll your egg in it, and you leave your egg all covered in shaving cream, and you put them on a rack, and you let them sit, and by the time you get to the last one, you can wash them all off, which is why you want your kids to have gloves on, or your kids are going to have colored hands for Easter, and then you just wipe them all down, and they look like tie-dye. It's really cool, and that's something that you can do, you know, with little kids, because shaving cream won't hurt them. And if they get shaving cream on them, it doesn't matter. Put on their smock or whatever, you know, the,
mm-hmm,
old shirt buttoned up backwards. We've done it if you have kids.
Yeah, Perry still wears hers to school.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best thing, because then you can just throw it in the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I have two other ones. And the first one is completely off the topic of dyeing the egg. Mm-hmm. And you can also use this for, this is really good for those plastic eggs that we end up with 8,000 of by the time your kid gets to be about 15,
mm-hmm.
because they've been to every Easter egg hunt, or you've, you know, made up their Easter baskets, and you every year can't find the old eggs, and then suddenly you find the box and you have 100. You can use decoupage and cover them with old books, like their old favorite stories, or comics, things they love, like they love SpongeBob or whatever, and you can decoupage onto the plastic eggs, and they can keep take them out every year, and they can become a family heirloom. And everybody knows how to decoupage. I mean, even if you don't want to go out and buy, what do they call that, Mod Podge, you can just use a little bit of Elmer's glue and water it down.
Mm-hmm.
We've done this at Beltane several times. You can also use tissue paper, and then they look like they're stained glass eggs.
Cool.
So, you know, and those are ones that you can then, you can spray shellac them for the kids, or paint shellac them, you know, paint glaze them, whatever you want to do. And they have them for every year. They can always say, oh, Mom, bringing the eggs out this year, you know, which is really fun. Now,
mm-hmm.
for those that like to use paws because they don't want to spend
mm-hmm.
4 hours dying vegetation,
mm-hmm.
there is something cool you can do than just put the eggs in the cup and be done. What you do is you follow the instructions, but you use a little bit less water. And you only fill your container up so that half of the egg is covered.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 3 minutes, you add a little bit more water. And then it's only 2 minutes, and you add a little bit more water. And then only a minute later, you add a little bit more water. And it creates this ombre effect to the egg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And it's just another way of making it fun, having it, and, you know, the kids can see that as they go up, the color's changing. And it's just another fun thing that you can do, you know, with the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with paws. Everybody's used them. We've all ingested paws. you know, nobody's died from it.
Yet.
So, yet. Well, then there's the other fun one where you crack the egg. You make little cracks in the egg, and then when you dip
mm-hmm.
it in the dye, and you peel the egg is then it looks like spider webs all over the egg, which is great if you're doing deviled eggs, which I'm sure we're going to get to later.
So, interesting.
Those are some fun things I found you could do with eggs. Well, then you can get off the coloring part, and you can just take all those plastic eggs, and you can glue them to a styrofoam wreath.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make yourself a lovely door wreath.
Oh,
but be careful,
cool.
because if the sun sets on the front of your house,
mm-hmm.
your hot glue will eventually melt. Mine did.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
all my eggs fell on the floor.
Oh, jeez.
And there was hot glue running down my front door. It was not good.
Mm.
Not good. But what do you have on the crafty project, Miss I Have a Craft?
You're going to be so proud of me.
I know. I can't wait. I'm just going to sit here and be quiet. And if he says anything like, yeah, I bet, throw something at him.
No, he's being good.
Okay.
So it occurred to me that there are a lot of people these days who are vegan, who do not eat eggs, and a lot of people who have egg allergies. And it's sort of like they get left out of the whole egg, you know, dying thing. They could dye the eggs, but they certainly can't eat them, so it's kind of a waste.
Right.
And oddly enough, most vegans I know will eat marshmallows, as odd as that seems.
Well, is there anything really in marshmallow?
No, it's sugar and water and, you know, chemicals.
And like cream of tartar or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so there's nothing in there they can't have.
Right, exactly. Even people who have some, like, gluten issues sometimes have trouble digesting eggs. Eggs are very tough to digest, particularly hard-boiled eggs, by the way.
I'm so glad I don't have any of that drama.
Yeah, I know. Me too. So I found this really cute idea, which was you can dye marshmallows.
Oh.
And the way to do it is to take edible food coloring. And, you know, you give a couple of drops of the food coloring in every bowl, just like you would normally do with the pause. And it's usually a half a cup of water and several drops of the food coloring. And on the website, when I put this up, it gave me recipes on how to make certain colors. So, for example, if you want to make a light purple, like a pastel purple, 14
mm-hmm.
drops of blue food coloring with 4 drops of red will make a really pretty pastel purple with a half a cup of water.
Okay.
Orange is 16 drops of yellow and 3 drops of red. Again, a half a cup of water. And this water should be cool. It does not need to be warm. And the a pale pink, 12 drops of red and 1 drop of yellow and 1 drop of blue. I'm sorry, 1 drop of yellow and 5 drops blue. So that's 12 drops red, 1 drop yellow, 5 drops blue to make pink. And I'm going to post all of this for you guys. But you could also just go with the straight colors, you know,
sure.
the food coloring colors. And the less color you put in the water, the lighter the color will be. So, and you can obviously vary those recipes. It's just a guideline. So then you take the marshmallow and you put the marshmallow on a toothpick and you dip it in one end. And then you can take like an egg carton, like those styrofoam or the cardboard egg cartons, and
mm-hmm.
turn it upside down and stick the toothpick in there so that it'll dry.
Mm.
And then when you let all those dry, you take the toothpicks out of the one end, stick it in the other end, and dip it in a different color. So you'll get like 2 different colors on one marshmallow.
Mm.
Now, that was the craft I saw online. And, of course, you know me, everything has to have chocolate. Because why bother if it doesn't have chocolate, as far as I'm concerned?
Mm.
So I thought, gee, you know, that would be really cool if you could do, like, pink and purple with the dye, and then maybe take some white chocolate and melt it, put a little blue food coloring in it, like for a very light sky blue, maybe like 2 or 3 drops,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
mix it all together really well. And then you could dip one end of the marshmallow in the blue. And so you'd have, like, the 3 colors on the one marshmallow, plus it'd now have some chocolate on it. And then, of course, you know, you'd put them on a piece of wax paper or something to dry.
Now, keep in mind,
mm-hmm.
when you're doing chocolate,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to use that vegetable dye because it dilutes the chocolate and it won't harden. Make sure you use the, I think they call it paste coloring.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That they have I think they have a gel too. You can use
mm-hmm.
to the frosting gel you can put in the chocolate.
Right, because if mm-hmm. you use that liquid, it's like watering it down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only. Otherwise, that's an awesome idea.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you
yeah.
just dyed one half in one color and one half in the other, and then tilted it on its side
mm-hmm.
and chocolated that half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah, you could do the whole thing with chocolate rather than the dye as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought about that too, except that I have done chocolate-covered marshmallows, and they get very, very messy for children.
Well, yeah.
But it's
half That's when
fun.
You put that smock on backwards, and you
yeah.
let them go to town,
yeah.
and then you hose them off.
And the other one that sort of developed out of this is, you know, as much as the white chocolate is pretty because you can dye it the pretty color, I'm really not fond of white chocolate to eat.
Mm.
And so the other thing I came up with was how to make little bunny faces with chocolate-covered, you know, like dark chocolate-covered, the way I like them, marshmallows.
Mm.
And you know, dip the marshmallows in the dark chocolate. And you know, for the white chocolate, by the way, white chocolate does not melt very well in a microwave.
No, you really need to use the double boiler
yeah,
thing.
You really
for that.
Should use a double boiler for white chocolate. Regular dark chocolate and milk chocolate, you can get away with the microwave, but still, the best way is still in a double boiler. And if you don't have a double boiler, you can make one with a metal or a glass bowl. That you know, the glass has to be like a tempered bowl that you can
Pyrex.
Use. Pyrex, yeah. On top of a saucepan, and just make sure the water is not hitting the bottom of the bowl.
And
the
that
pan.
It doesn't dry out, or you'll ruin your saucepan.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why sometimes a glass bowl is nice, because you can see the water through it.
And they
and
also
then, of course,
do make, I noticed that Niv mentioned in the chat room, dark chocolate is best for diabetics. Also, they do make, if you go to any of your craft stores, like your Michaels or your A.C. Moore's, they do make the sugar-free chocolate in the pellets that you can melt.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those in the supermarket.
So
the
if you're looking not to have it be, I don't know how good it is, I'll be honest with you, because with my son's diabetes, being that he's type 1, he can eat whatever he wants. He just has to cover it. I know with type 2, it's much different.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how good it is. Or you could even use, what's the other thing, carob?
You could use carob, but carob, it doesn't melt very well.
No?
Yeah, I've never had a whole lot of...
It'll be rustic-looking marshmallows.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know how it would, whether, how it would stick to the marshmallow. I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I honestly don't have a lot of experience with carob.
Well, I think it would because, you know, they do make, like, carob-covered raisins and stuff, so obviously they do that somehow.
Yeah. And you might have to add, like, vegetable oil or something to get the carob to melt smooth the way chocolate
does.
I'm sure there's
a website for that.
I'm sure there is. So with the chocolate-covered marshmallows, you can either use milk or dark, or you could even use white. It's up to you. I just happen to like dark chocolate on my marshmallows. And then, you know, have you seen these new frosting markers? They draw like a marker, but it's like gel frosting.
Yes, I saw something about it online, but I haven't seen it in my local store yet.
And so they have them at my store, and you could use those to draw a little face on the bunny once the chocolate is completely set. And one of the good ways I like to set the chocolate is to put them in the fridge or freezer, depending on how warm it is outside. And then once it's set, you know, could draw on them, or you could even just get the gel in the little frosting tubes and paint a face on. And then string shoelace licorice, cut a short piece, bend it in half, and stick two in the top for ears.
Yeah.
So I thought
that was really great.
I thought that could be cute. And, you know, then you'd have little bunnies, and you could even use them on people's plates or stick them in the baskets or whatever. I thought the other ones, the dyed marshmallows, because they're in pastel colors, would look really pretty in a table setting. Like if you wanted to put a whole bunch in a basket, it would be pretty as a centerpiece in the table. So.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Absolutely true.
So are you proud of me? I did good, right?
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Now, of course, because we raced through the show like crazy, it is almost half past. Did you have any other crafty thing? And maybe we can do food on the second half.
The only other crafty thing that I wanted to mention was with the dipping of the marshmallows, what we were talking about. I did think that if you didn't want to use toothpicks, because little kids sometimes, you know, poke themselves with toothpicks, you could put them on those lollipop sticks.
Yes.
That you can buy at the craft store. And
yes,
if you were going to buy those anyway, you could use those to dip the bunnies, and then you'd have little bunny, like chocolate-covered marshmallow lollipops on bunnies on lollipop sticks, which could be cute. That was the only other addendum that...
Absolutely. Absolutely, I think that's fantastic.
Terry says, "Oh, just let them play with toothpicks."
Or skewers.
Or skewers, yeah. We'll just give them metal skewers in that case.
Well, you know, one thing, too, is if you're dealing with smaller children, if mom turns around and gets all the marshmallows on the skewers beforehand, then there's less risk of the child poking themselves.
Poking, yeah, that's true.
You know what
true.
I mean? And the thing is, you can stand them all up in a glass, and that, like you would do with paintbrushes, and they can just take one out of the glass. And if you didn't have the egg carton or anything like that, you can just put them back in the glass.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they will just fan out, especially if you have a wide-mouth container.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, there's several things to do. So if our engineer is ready, we have Rise Up Singing by Jenna Green for the break.
Yep, thank you.
2, 3, 4. You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe. And we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be. You're listening to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Robin and Lisa.
And hello, back from break. If any of you out there listening or in the chat room have crafts or recipes that you'd like to share, please feel free to either post it in the chat room or call us at our call-in number, and then press the 1 after the number comes on, you know, and it comes on and says you're on Blog Talk Radio, and then just press 1, and we'll know that you have something to contribute to the show. The number is 646-564-9714. So please give us a call, and we will acknowledge you if you do that. So
absolutely.
Yep, and we always like to hear. And since I let you go first...
You get to go first now.
Yes, I will go first now. I was looking through some of the old cookbooks that were my mom's, and I came across two recipes, and it was specifically Easter recipes, and they were both labeled as what to do with all those hard-boiled eggs after Easter. but they're kind of unique recipes I had not thought of or seen before. They're both... casseroles. One is a lasagna, and one is just a regular casserole. They're both similar, but very different taste-wise. The first one is a hard-boiled egg and onion casserole. So you basically, you slice your hard-boiled eggs, and you lay them in the bottom of a, like a glass Pyrex, you know, what is it, like 9x11 pan, and you butter the pan first. And then you layer in the eggs, and then you put a layer of slightly sautéed onions, you know, but they're still soft and they haven't gotten brown at all.
Okay.
You lay the layer of onions, and then a layer of like asparagus cut up, or broccoli cut up, some vegetable, spinach, whatever you like. And then another layer of the egg, another layer of the onion, another layer, you know, and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put shredded cheese all over the top.
Mm.
And bake it in the oven, 30 minutes or so on 350. And just very savory when it comes out.
Mm.
The other one is you make lasagna, but instead of noodles, basically you use the
hard-boiled egg.
The same thing, baked, you know, a baking dish. You lay the eggs in the bottom of the baking dish, and then you put a layer of the shredded mozzarella cheese, and you dot it with the ricotta cheese the way you normally would. This one also called for adding in asparagus or broccoli or spinach, and always when you do anything with vegetables like that, make sure you drain them well.
Right.
Now this one you add in a separate pan. You put some cream or whole milk, whatever your preference is, a half a teaspoon of nutmeg. You're like making kind of like a quick bechamel here. A half a teaspoon of salt. This one calls for a quarter teaspoon of dry mustard, I think, because of the eggs. Then you once you've layered all your eggs, your mozzarella cheese, your ricotta, eggs, you know, vegetables, eggs, you make your two or three layers or whatever. You heat this milk mixture with the spices in it in the other pan, and then you pour it over the casserole. Got to let it settle for a little bit and get absorbed a little bit, the liquid, and then you cover it with Italian breadcrumbs.
Ooh.
Put it in the oven, 30 minutes, 350 degrees, and you're done.
You're posting those, right?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, good.
And so I really thought that lasagna was good. And Terry just sent me a message, no tomato sauce. Classic northern Italian lasagna, no tomato sauce, no. It was a bechamel and
it's like a vegetable lasagna.
Yeah.
That has a white sauce as well.
Exactly. So
now, I mean, if you really want to, you could do an Alfredo, you could add Parmesan cheese to your bechamel.
Oh, sure.
If you
absolutely
needed that, you know, something heartier, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you could do that too, which would be absolutely yummy.
Yeah. And I just thought that was I saw that, and, you know, I am not a hard-boiled egg fan. I have all these eggs after Easter, and I never know what to do with them. I'm always trying to pawn them off. Would you like a hard-boiled egg?
See, now, we love them.
Hard-boiled egg.
We love them. I probably wouldn't. I would have to make hard-boiled eggs just to make that recipe. Because we love them, but we're more traditional in what we do with our with our hard-boiled eggs. You know what I mean? We do, you know, your traditional egg salad, because my kids absolutely love egg salad. And then, of course, there's your deviled eggs, which...
That was the other recipe I came across, was curried deviled eggs, which I might actually try.
Okay. What do? You put the curry in the yellow mixture?
Yeah.
You could, I mean, you can put anything in there. I have a twist. You know, most people do the traditional. You put your egg yolks in the bowl, and you add your salt and pepper, and then some people use a little mustard, a little dried mustard, or even the prepared yellow mustard is amazing. I used it today in a tuna salad, so it's got a lot of kick to it. So you can put some of that in. Some people like the pickle relish, but what I have come across is I found these pickles online. My mother had them in Maryland, where they sell them in the supermarket. And I went and tried to see if I could find out, you know, where I could get them. And I ordered them online, and they're called Wickles. They're wicked pickles.
Yeah, I think you told me about these before.
Yes. And basically, they're your normal bread and butter pickle, but they take one of those red hot peppers, those little skinny ones that they dry, and they put it in the jar during the canning process. So they're spicy. So what I do is I will cut the circular pickle chip, if you will, into like Trivial Pursuit pieces, and I use them to decorate the top of the traditional yellow mixture. So when you bite it, there's a little bit of a hotness to the pickle. And I figure for deviled eggs,
mm-hmm.
a little heat's not a bad idea.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, one thing that I know our trusty Barb, who is our kitchen witch in our group,
yes.
Whenever there's a blue moon, she makes blue deviled eggs. And
mm-hmm.
I found out how you can go about doing that. And this can also tie in with when I said that if you do the vegetable dyeing and you crack your egg and it makes colors on the actual egg white, you can then use those eggs for your deviled eggs and they'll be, like you said, pretty for a centerpiece. Or you can just turn around and take some vegetable dye and throw all the whites into Ziploc bags and let them sit in the vegetable dye for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have colored whites on your deviled eggs.
Oh.
Which I saw them on Pinterest, and I have to say, they were really pretty for, you know, the tea party effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're bringing in one of those, even if you're doing like a summer baby shower or a summer wedding, or, you know, any one of those kind of things, they're a lovely finger food in pastel colors.
I hate to interrupt you. I want you to know that a millisecond before you said wedding, Terry said wedding. The two of you are so awful.
We have wedding on the brain.
That's right.
June wedding. Who'd have thunk?
Who'd have thunk? No, but, you know, they're great if you're doing, like, that tea party aspect. If you've
mm-hmm.
got, you know, kids where they do like eggs,
mm-hmm.
and it's a great way to get some protein into your kids instead of just everything. But they look like little pettifors because they're
mm-hmm.
a beautiful pastel colors.
Yeah.
So they look fun to eat. So if you're trying to get that, you know, protein into your kid, and egg is something that they will use. Because I know when my kids were little, eggs, I mean, I couldn't get them to eat, you know, steak. I couldn't get them to eat any kind of a protein. And I made several bazillion scrambled eggs just to get them to eat protein.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, they ate hard-boiled eggs. And most kids don't want the yellow part in the middle, but if you whip it into something that looks yummy, they may be more likely to eat it for you.
Hmm.
But that's, I mean, truthfully, for hard-boiled eggs, that's probably the extent of what I've done with hard-boiled eggs. I use them, you know, when I'm having a barbecue and you make your pasta salad, I will cut them up on top, or your potato salad or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We like them just kind of the way they are. So I've never really investigated too many crazy egg recipes.
Mm-hmm.
But also, one good thing, very health and wellness oriented,
mm-hmm.
is I know spinach salad is very popular with hard-boiled egg crumble.
Absolutely.
If you make a traditional, you have some bacon bits, you have some
mm-hmm.
Crumbled up.
Warm bacon dressing. Mm-hmm.
Warm bacon dressing, the crumbled up egg.
Mm-hmm.
I think even maybe lime juice or something. I don't know. My mom used to make it, and
mm-hmm.
some baby spinach. And I'll tell you, you're doing yourself some wonders, especially if you're like me and you don't like kale.
Mm-hmm.
Eating some dark baby spinach.
Mm-hmm.
in a salad format is delicious, easy to go down. You don't feel like, oh, my God, I'm eating the grass out the backyard. And it's good for
well,
you.
Well, there's a
I
secret
mean, granted,
to kale. There
I
are
know.
Secrets to kale, like you have to take the big stem out.
I know. It's the same thing with Swiss chard.
Right, exactly. And sometimes parboiling it for a few seconds really helps the flavor. It takes out some of
you
the
know,
bitterness. Just like,
I have
you know,
heard that.
Green. Yeah.
And our friend in New York, she loves to... It's the same way that I finally got my kids to eat Brussels sprouts,
mm-hmm.
was sauté them in shallots and bacon.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, I do that with spinach sometimes, too.
And it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I'm sure that kind of dilutes a little bit of the nutrients of the kale when you're covering it up with bacon.
You don't
but, you know, even rocks are good with bacon.
Well, this is true. But you don't need a lot of bacon in order to make the greens taste good. So sometimes, you know, if you're going to take one slice of bacon, cut it up really small, throw it in the pan, render it, put the, put, you know, a pound of greens in, because when you throw the greens in the pan, they wilt down to almost nothing. Throw a pound of greens in the pan, and then maybe a little garlic or whatever it is that you want to throw in there, some sherry, you know, whatever. I mean, they can be delightful. My favorite thing in the world when I'm really feeling like I need a boost is to do that with some spinach. And on the side, I love to saute mushrooms. There's something about sautéed mushrooms and spinach together. For me, that's just like, oh, my
it's
God.
It's very earthy.
And it is so nurturing and just, I mean, it always makes me feel better. And I can't explain it, but maybe it's because I'm always low on iron. I don't know.
And you know what? That may very well be true, but it's still yummy.
Oh,
and, you know, it's comfort food. You know, it's why down south they eat collard greens, and they these are comfort foods. So, you know, I mean, we've talked about comfort foods before. They wouldn't be called that if they didn't give you that that good feeling. You know, now I know my son loves, now this is not a hard-boiled egg, which is what we're trying to accomplish here, but he loves a fried egg on his hamburgers. It's a big thing now, putting a, you know, they do it on all the cooking shows with the quail egg all the time. I wonder how it would be to put, you know, crumbled hard-boiled egg on a burger.
Oh, yeah, that would be good, I would think.
That would probably
be. Or somebody
be,
who likes hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're an egg person, you know, don't just think you're limited to egg salad. You know, it happens to be what we like, but... You know, if it's not something that you like, you know, add them to, and you could probably crumble them up and add them to any recipe.
Yeah.
So that they're not going to waste.
Well, something that my neighbor used to do when I was a kid that I recall, and now that you're talking about it, she would take the egg yolks of the hard-boiled eggs and the whites, and she would sort of put it in her food processor, I guess. And she would turn it into almost like a pâté paste.
Yeah,
and then,
like you pulverize it.
Right, and then she would spread it on the inside of a chicken breast, roll the chicken breast, and cook it. I think usually there was a piece of ham or something inside, too. So it was like chicken and ham and the egg.
Niv is going crazy in the chat room. She has so many recipes. Giving egg to your pets, giving a hard-boiled egg that has nothing else in it, is a great thing. They it's in pet food. Also, you put scrambled eggs in your breakfast casserole. What if you turned around and made like an egg pie, and you take all those hard-boiled eggs and you slice them up and you layer them around, you know, a what do you call it? Oh my gosh, I'm drawing a complete blank. A pie crust. You know what I mean? Put that in there. Put some cheese in there. Add a little ham in there. Heat it all up. You could have, you know, kind of like a cheater quiche. You know, oh, she lives next door to a chicken farm. I wish I lived next door to a chicken farm.
Oh, her eggs are delicious, too. When she used to come out here more frequently, I used to get eggs from her all the time. Best eggs. Best homegrown eggs I've ever had.
Well, so Ron just took, just today, this morning for breakfast, we had a... Everyone was off this morning, so we had what we call, you know, big breakfast. I won't tell you the adjective Sammy used before big breakfast, but that's what she wanted this morning because she was off. And he got hash browns, and he added egg and the hash browns and cheese, and he fried them up like pancakes. And and you could do that with your hard-boiled eggs just as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I mean, use up your eggs.
Yeah. You were talking about the big breakfast thing. For Terry's birthday, I made him a actually a shell-less...
A beepin' big breakfast?
A shell-less quiche. And quiche is so easy to make. I don't know why more people don't make it.
And it's so good. And it lasts in the fridge, too.
And it does. And it is just And you can put anything in it. It's a great way to clean out your refrigerator. I mean, if you've got a little bit of this and a little bit of that and you don't know what to do with it and it's going to go bad and you don't want to make soup.
especially in the heat of the summer, the last thing you want to do is be simmering soup over the stove every night.
Absolutely.
You know, so to turn around and you've got, you know, I mean, we've all got it, that two sticks of broccoli that just nobody could get down.
Right, or like somebody made a sandwich and left one piece of ham. You know, what the heck are you going to do with that? But you can throw it in quiche.
That's exactly what made him do this was I had made something that required, you know, the little ham steaks you can get? Sometimes they're on sale, like, you know, four for $10, which is pretty decent for a ham steak. And I'll only need half of it. And the other, like, third was sitting in the refrigerator. And he's like, oh, I'll just cut this up and stick this in with the hash browns. And, oh, and I'll just take this egg and I'll throw that in there. And next thing you know, he's made this really kind of amazing sort of omelet-y hash brown concoction. And he's so good for that. He's so good for that. But, yeah, I mean, you've always got that little piece of onion that's left.
Yeah,
or that
absolutely.
Little piece of whatever. That's left. You know, add a little spices to it, whatever works for you. That half jar of salsa. You know, you can put that over the top of the quiche because if you have peppers, it's perfect for a Western, you know, like a Western omelet, a Western quiche.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I know. It's delish.
So
I love it. The incredible edible egg, right?
The incredible edible egg. The curried eggs. It's basically deviled eggs recipe, and you just really add, you know, curry powder to taste, and cayenne if you want it to be spicy. The curry powder alone will not make them spicy. They will make them aromatic and flavorful.
Right.
But if you want the spicy hint, then you need to add some cayenne pepper. And again, that's going to be to taste, and probably up the salt a little bit. Because the curry will mask the salt flavor. But other than that, it's pretty much a straightforward deviled egg recipe.
I probably wouldn't put the pickle relish in there.
Yeah, well, yeah. See, I don't put pickle relish in my deviled eggs. I'll be honest. I have never personally made deviled eggs because I don't like them. But my daughter likes them, and now there's some guy who is looking at me like nodding like yes. So
that guy who was thinking deviled eggs,
yeah.
Well, you know, maybe with the curry, because I know you like those flavors, those Indian type flavors.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. If I were going to make them and try them and see if I like them, probably the curried egg thing would be the way to go.
Absolutely, I would think that would work for you. And you know, you can spice things up. I made egg salad the one I might, you know. Egg salad is pretty boring. Mayonnaise, eggs, salt and pepper, maybe some celery seed. It's fairly boring. And the one time I said, well, what is your favorite part of a deviled egg? Well, it's the inside. Well, why don't I use my deviled egg recipe in my egg salad? And it really boosted up the egg salad. So now I'm trying different things, like putting paprika in my egg salad instead of just powdering it on top of the eggs, using a smoked paprika instead of just a regular paprika. You know what I mean? You could probably even add some cumin or something. You know, spices that you like. Make it yours.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had a girlfriend. I used to love her tuna salad, and I couldn't figure out why. Do you know that she actually ground up her lettuce in a food processor with the tuna fish so it got really, you know, really broken up. And that's how she made her tuna salad. And I could never figure out what was in her tuna salad. It was freaking pulverized lettuce.
Like iceberg lettuce?
Yeah.
It didn't make it really watery?
No. No. Huh. She didn't go to the point, because, I mean, anything will get watery if you let it go for too long, especially like onions.
Yeah.
No, what she did was she just put it in there and broke it up like you would break up maybe breadcrumbs, like three or four zhuzhes on the food processor.
Zhuzhes, that's a technical term.
It's a very technical term. You zhuzh. You know what I mean? I'm sure everyone out there, give me a heck yeah for the zhuzhing. Come on, you all know what I'm talking about. But yeah, it just, it broke it up enough that you didn't know what it was. Like, I thought it was parsley or some kind of an herb.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was lettuce.
Oh, boy. That's cool. That's a good idea. I wonder if you could do the same thing with spinach. The spinach would probably turn it green, though.
But and so what? We eat pesto.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
You know, so there you have it. But, oh, my gosh, this hour went so fast.
It always does.
I know, but, gosh. I was afraid we really didn't have a whole lot to say on eggs, but...
See that? We filled yet another show.
Eggs.
With eggs.
I love it.
It's that time of year, you know?
And while we were on break, I did post a list of the colors and the things that made the colors.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go back in because I hit post because I didn't want to lose it again. I'm going to go back in and put another note with a reminder of the ratios and the amounts.
The engineer just sent me a private note that said, you ladies would never run out of things to say.
Oh,
that's true.
That's funny. And did you see what Shira posted on the web in the web room? She said, you had an extra lot to say. I love it.
Oh, gosh. Thank you, Shira.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Doggone it. People like us.
I have no clue why.
I'll tell you what. You know what we're going to have to do is, you know, Pagan Pride Day.
Mm-hmm.
Just FYI on a side note here, I got a notification that Pagan Pride Day is, they had sent out their notification to previous presenters, vendors, whatever. And I know it's here in Jersey. It's in Pensauken, right across the border from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should think about having a, you know, CERN radio table.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice.
At Pagan Pride Day.
Well, yeah, we did kind of
maybe.
Did that last year, wasn't? If I recall,
we
that
did.
Was where
well, Woven Roots, first. Woven Roots. Yes, that was when you guys first.
Our first official
dragged,
date.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, we dragged Terry out, and then his daughter invited him to my house for dinner. Your daughter invited him to
my
daughter, house for dinner. It was fantastic.
That's right.
I was like, oh my God, my house is a pigsty, and here comes Terry. Holy God! But what I was thinking is, you know, maybe we can get some of these other people who maybe don't live too far away
to
come
nice.
Out and say hey, and people who are listening. I mean, I'm sure our Australian following isn't going to make it up, but, you know, anybody who listens and who wants to come say hi and give us some ideas and stuff, you know, I will, I'll keep reminding everybody and we'll see if we can get some people to come on out.
Yeah, that would
it's
be
such
cool.
a fun day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is a fun day. So
yeah,
I just happened to get
time.
That email. So it is later in the fall. So you have all summer to plan what's going to be going on. But
yeah.
All right.
Sounds good.
Oh, wait a minute. What is this? When he wore tights. Oh, Shira asked if that's when he wore tights.
No, that
no.
was at the bash. You have
yes,
to come
he wore
to the
tights
bash.
In October. Now, if we're going to do another bash this year, let's get some people to come. There's hotels right by the place where we do the bash. So we'll probably start thinking about that soon, too.
Yeah, yeah, we will.
What?
Terry just said they might even let us come back.
Yes, they love us. They love us there because we clean up.
Yeah, this is true.
Much like the park always loved us because we cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, it's 11:01.
Yep, it is. We're always a little bit late. Besides,
well, this is good this time.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
That's good. Well, I hope everybody out there has a splendid day on Sunday, whether they celebrate Easter or just bunnies and chocolate eggs. And anyone who's celebrating their Passover tonight, mazel tov. And blessed be.
Absolutely. And as always, I want to let everybody know that, once again, best way to improve your surroundings is to emit love, be kind to people who obviously need it and may not necessarily deserve it, but definitely just try to, you know, exude love and be as kind and patient as possible, because in the long run, you'll feel much better at the end of the day for having done that, rather than getting upset and letting things get under your skin. And the more good vibes we put out, the more we get back. So give love, get love. So,
and
on that note, I will wish everybody a very happy holiday weekend, whatever they celebrate or don't celebrate. For some people, it's a non-celebration weekend. But enjoy your weekend no matter what. And I will see, we will see you next week. I am in talks currently with Susan Menaheim, who is, for the last several years, been studying with a shaman in Peru. And we know her as Hubi. She's a
right.
friend of ours from way back. Hubi was actually the first person to teach me how to play a djembe.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. So known her for a long time, and I'm really looking forward to it. We're in talks to get her on the show, and I'm excited about it. She has had a lot of really cool experiences. She'll be talking about an event that she's going to be attending coming up shortly as well. All kinds of cool stuff to talk to her about. And I'm just trying to pin her down on what Friday is going to work for her. So that show will be coming up shortly. So keep your eyes peeled for that one. That one's going to be a good one.
All right.
Also, I think we found out tonight that we might be going to be presenting at the Florida. We've been asked to present at the Florida pagan event for Beltane. Apparently, Marcy called me, and they have our name on the website as presenters.
Okay, then I guess you're going.
I guess so. Nobody told me, though, until just tonight. So apparently we're going to be doing that, maybe, sort of, kind of. We'll see. I'm not sure. It happened right before we came on the air, so I haven't really even had time to look at my schedule or Terry's schedule and find out if we're both going to be available. So we'll see.
Oh,
so,
Niv says it's a huge pagan event.
Is it? Yeah, I know.
Just outside of Tampa.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yep, so we'll be there, maybe. So look for that as well. And we'll keep you guys updated on what's happening with that. And, okay, everybody have a wonderful evening and a great weekend, and we will see you next Friday, same time, same place. And in the meantime, spread the love. Night, everybody.
Night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.